this isolated tribe. The men began by making regular flights over the settlements where this tribe was, and they dropped gifts out of a little plane. After several months of providing gifts, eventually they decided to establish camp at a sandbar called Palm Beach, which is just a few kilometres from where this tribe lived. But their efforts came to an end on January the 8th, 1956, when all five men were attacked and gruesomely speared to death by a group of Huarani warriors from this tribe. Now, just like the Huarani people, the Apostle Paul, before his conversion to Christianity, was extremely hostile and violent toward anyone who wasn't part of his own people, the Jews. Now, after his conversion, however, Paul gained a very different perspective, as we see in tonight's passage. So we're going to look at this passage in three sections. Section 1, you have peace with God, verses 11 to 13. Section 2, we have peace with each other, verses 14 to 18. And section 3, one household of peace, verses 19 to 22. So let's dive in. Section 1, verses 11 to 13. You have peace with God. Now, Paul, addressing his Gentile, non-Jewish readers, a category which I think most of us fall into, writes, verse 11, "So then, considering the spiritual blessings you've been given by grace, which I've already told you about in the previous chapters, don't forget that you were not Jews by birth and that you were called the uncircumcision." Now, in Australia, we sometimes use derogatory terms to refer to groups of people who we might see as inferior. Bogan is one. I'm sure you can think of many others. Now, just like us, the Jews had a nickname for the people they saw as inferior, the Gentiles, and they referred to them as the uncircumcision. Now, what actually gave Jews the warrant for thinking that they were superior to anyone who wasn't a Jew? Well, as we read in Romans 9, God's promises were originally made to the Jews. They were the ones who received the covenants and law of God, and it was from them that the Messiah would come. All Jews were marked with the outward sign of circumcision to demonstrate the special relationship that their people had with God. What the Jews failed to realise, however, was that since Jesus had come as the Messiah, things had changed. What the Jews bore now was a mere outward sign made in the flesh by human hands. Paul understands that ever since Jesus came to perform an inward circumcision of the heart, this outward sign no longer matters. However, Paul reminds his Gentile readers that before Christ came to inwardly circumcise their hearts, they were not part of God's family. He says that you were not born into the family, and therefore you did not have the hope of receiving any of God's promises because you were separate from the head of the family. So think about Downton Abbey or really any other period drama where you've got the big house with the family and they have all the privileges, and then you've got people like the servants who are on the outer. They didn't have the privilege of being born into the family and they're seen as outcasts. The Gentiles were a little bit like this, a people considered to be aliens and strangers outside of the family. But now, there's been a massive shift. Paul says, verse 13, "In Christ Jesus, you who are far off outside of the house have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. You have now been welcomed into the family." Now, in a moment, we're going to watch a video clip, which is being shown at all the services here today, about someone who was far off from God, outside of the family, and who God called to be near to him and to be part of this family. Now, this video is part of an initiative of the Worldwide Anglican Church called Thy Kingdom Come. Now, this is an initiative that's going to be running from May 25 to June 4. And the point of this is to encourage a period of 2 weeks of intentional prayer for those who are not yet Christians and far from God. So turn your eyes to the screen and let's have a look. So just like Luke in the video, Paul says, "You Gentiles have been pulled out of the depths of darkness and welcomed into the family. Having Jewish flesh and blood no longer matters." Paul says that it's because of the flesh and blood of Christ alone that you who are far off have been brought near and reconciled to God so that you may have peace with him. I wonder how often you subconsciously look around St. Alfred's, see someone and think that maybe they're not up to our standards. Perhaps they weren't born in the right country. Perhaps they don't wear the right clothes, speak the right language, go to the right school, live in the right suburb, have the right job, or talk the right way. But we must remember that none of us deserve to be here at all. We mustn't judge people based on their outward appearance at all. The only reason any of us are here is that we've been reconciled to God by grace alone. It no longer matters who our biological parents are or what biological family line we belong to. We don't need to be part of the Jewish family line. We were far off outside of the family, and God, through Jesus, brought us near. As Paul proceeds in section 2, verses 14 to 18, he says, "Now that you have peace with God, we have peace with each other." Now, in these verses, Paul moves from language of "you" to language of "us" and "our." Paul, remember, a Jewish man who would have formerly been disgusted to come into contact with Gentiles in the marketplace, is now proclaiming that through the death of Christ alone, he and his Gentile readers have been made into one in Christ. He's made us all into one family. For verse 14, "He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between us." Now, there's been many walls in history which have divided people groups. The Great Wall of China, the Berlin Wall, which divided East and West Germany, a certain wall that the American president wants to build. Well, in the Jewish temple, there was a wall which served to bar Gentiles from moving beyond the outer court into the inner temple. Now, when I visited Jerusalem last year, I had the privilege of seeing one of the inscriptions up on the screen, which served to mark this barrier. It says, "No Gentile shall enter within the partition and barrier surrounding the temple, and whoever is caught shall be solely responsible to himself for his subsequent death." Now, as we learn in Acts 21, ironically, Paul himself was actually accused of taking a Gentile, Trophimus, past this checkpoint. Now, while this was a wrongful accusation, Paul, as we saw in verse 14, did proclaim that this barrier was no longer relevant because he knew that it had been broken down by Christ, and therefore Paul, in a way, did spiritually invite Gentiles to move beyond this barrier. Christ, in breaking down this barrier, has abolished the law so that he might create peace in one new humanity. 500 years ago, during the Protestant Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church held up works and obedience to the law as the way to salvation. But the Reformers were insistent that we are saved by grace alone, through Christ alone. He is the one who has broken down the barrier of works and the law. He is the only one who can bring true peace between two groups who were formerly so divided. Jesus, in allowing himself to be put to death, has put to death the hostility that existed between God and his people, and the hostility that existed among God's people. The current cultural climate in Australia brings with it many calls to peace. If you've seen the topic of refugees brought up on the ABC's Q&A, you'll know what I'm talking about. The problem is, often these campaigns for peace bring an attitude of anger. Conversations very quickly turn into shouting matches, and these campaigns to bring peace often only seem to solidify division. Our world strives desperately for peace, but true peace can only come through Jesus. Jesus declared peace to those near, the Jews, and those far, the Gentiles, in his defeat of the grave, as when he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection in John 20, he greeted them with the words, "Peace be with you." Both Jew and Gentile now have true peace through the astonishing work of our triune God. Because of the Son, by the power of the Spirit, we all now have access to the Father. Christ has brought peace to every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, uniting us into one body. Christ is the unifying factor. At the cross, Jesus destroyed all the other criteria by which we judge each other. He has created one new humanity and one new body through his own body, so that the divisions between Jews and Gentiles, between Americans, Asians, Australians, no longer matter. Have a look around the room. How many of us do you think would interact or be friends if we weren't all Christians? There are so many different things that could drive us apart and cause divisions among us. Some of us feel like we have a really high IQ, some of us don't. Some of us enjoy fine dining in Frankston. Some of us enjoy smashed avocado on toast at hipster cafes in Brunswick. Some of us are 20-year-old uni students. Some of us are 68-year-old grandparents. Some of us have high-paying jobs. Some of us don't. Some of us were born in Australia. Some of us weren't. Some of us vote Liberal. Some of us vote Labor. There really are so many different walls that we could build. But because of Christ, we have all been joined together as part of one new humanity. We have been given true peace as one united body held together by the Prince of Peace. As a result of this, Paul, in this final section, says that, verse 19, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Not only has God brought us peace with each other through the blood of Jesus, but he has declared that our one united body of peace forms one household of peace. Gentiles are no longer aliens or strangers, but we have been welcomed into the family home. We are citizens with the saints and will receive our glorious inheritance as people among the saints of heaven. If anyone knows the Christian band Citizens and Saints, this verse is where they got their name. They chose it because it proclaims to the world their identity in Christ, and we, as fellow brothers and sisters, can claim this identity too. Because our God chose us before the creation of the world and predestined us in love for adoption through Jesus Christ, we are citizens and saints of heaven and are members of his household. In the Roman world of the first century, to be a member of a household meant refuge and protection by the master of the house. The household of heaven is where we find our refuge. We don't deserve to be here, but Jesus made a way. As Richard Cokin says in his commentary on Ephesians, the only reason we're not illegal immigrants is because our passports are stamped with the king's blood. Now, this household is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ as the ultimate foundation, the cornerstone. It is in him that the whole structure holds together. Without him, the entire thing falls apart. It's a little like trying to imagine Grey's Anatomy without Meredith Grey, or the Olympic commentary box without Bruce McAvaney, or really any sports commentary box without Bruce McAvaney. Or the EU without the UK. But really, when we think about it, I think Grey's Anatomy could continue without Meredith Grey, and sports commentary boxes could still function without Bruce McAvaney, though we'd be lacking endless statistical updates and rhetorical questions. And the EU, well, we'll see. But the church, we can say with absolute certainty, would simply and plainly come crashing down and cease to exist without Christ. We as God's people are part of his household, which is being formed into a holy temple of the Lord and being built together by the Spirit into his dwelling place. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in the tabernacle, then the temple. Before, in the New Testament, as we read in John 1:14, God came to tabernacle with his people through Jesus. Now he dwells in us, the church. As we saw earlier, before Jesus came, Gentiles could not even get close to the dwelling place of God. There was a barrier to stop them. Now we, Gentiles and Jews together, form the dwelling place of God. When I was in Turkey last year, I visited a Turkish church, and there were many obvious differences between the Turkish congregation members and myself, not least of which the fact that we spoke different languages, which made understanding the sermon interesting. I just tried to laugh when everyone else was laughing, and it was fine. But despite all this, despite the language barrier and all our other differences, I knew that together we formed the household of God. All of us join with Christians all around the world to form the household of God, of which Christ is the cornerstone. When we gather together each Sunday, spend time together in our growth groups, and sit in the hall for dinner after the service, God's Spirit is with us as we are his dwelling place. His dwelling place is no longer just in a temple in Jerusalem, it's in us. True peace is found in the family and household of God. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, there's going to be people here at St. Alf's who irritate you. But the most important thing is that as Christians, we have all been saved by the blood of Jesus. That is our common ground. So let's bear with each other and reflect to the world the peace into which we've been saved. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great 20th century German theologian, said the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. You know why? Because together we form the household and dwelling place of God, of which Christ is the cornerstone. Hostility and separation have no place here. We have been reconciled into a household of peace. We are indeed the body of Christ, and his Spirit is with us. Let's return to the story of the Huarani Ecuadorian tribe. Several years after the tragic deaths of the five American missionaries, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udarian, family members of the men, Jim's widow Elizabeth and Nate's sister Rachel, returned to Ecuador as missionaries to live among the Huarani people. Incredibly, this eventually led to the conversion of many, including some of those who were involved in the killing. Nate's son Steve on the screen has now been adopted as a tribal son by the man who killed his father. True peace came. How? Jesus Christ. He broke down the dividing wall of hostility between these two groups of people and made them into one household, giving them true peace. This is the household to which all Christians belong. This is the peace into which we've been saved. But the cross of Christ, with new unity, has brought new division. The greatest divide between humankind is no longer between Jew and Gentile. You're no longer on the wrong side of the gulf if you're a Gentile, but you are on the wrong side if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Make sure you're on the right side of the divide. This is where true peace is found, with our Father God through Jesus, with brothers and sisters in Christ as part of the one true household where God dwells by his Spirit. The marker of being part of this household is faith in Jesus and submitting our lives to his authority. It's only in this household that hostility and separation are truly broken down, and true peace is found. Amen.